Now, amid heavy criticism for his decision to withdraw U.S. troops from Syria, President Trump is defending his announcement on Twitter today.
He quoted Fox News host Laura Ingraham, who said on her show last night that Trump gets no credit for an improving situation in the Middle East. He also said the move shouldn't be a surprise, that he campaigned on it for years, and that the U.S. should not be the policeman of the Middle East.
Here's a clip from his video announcement yesterday.
We've been fighting for a long time in Syria. I've been president for almost 2 years, and we've really stepped it up. And we have won against ISIS. We've beaten them, and we've beaten them badly. We've taken back the land, and now it's time for our troops to come back home.
But several military advisors, along with House and Senate members, have said the job isn't done yet. A bipartisan group of six senators, including Republican Lindsey Graham, sent Trump a letter asking him to reconsider. Here's Graham on the Senate floor last night.
To say they're defeated is an overstatement and is fake news. It is not true. They have been severely damaged, but they will come back unless we're there to stop them.
Rukmini Kalamaki is a foreign correspondent for the New York Times who covers ISIS. Rukmini, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, can you tell us about the current state of American involvement? How many troops are there in Syria and what's their role?
Right now, there are around 2,000 U.S. troops in Syria, which in context is actually a very small number. During the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, at their heights, each of those countries had over 100,000 American troops stationed there.
And what are U.S. troops doing there in this confusing civil war in Syria?
They're there in a support role. The main way that the U.S. is helping the Kurds, who are our allies in that part of the world, is through air support. So the Kurds are on the ground advancing onto ISIS positions. When I was traveling with them, they always had iPads on them. And on those iPads, they would have the positions of suspected ISIS hideouts, and they would call in airstrikes that were being conducted by American pilots in American planes. And those positions would then be bombed, allowing the Kurds to then move in.
The president has said and tweeted that ISIS has been defeated, so the U.S. presence is no longer needed. Is there any agreement that ISIS has been defeated in Syria?
Not even close. ISIS currently, according to three independent reports that were just put out, has between 20,000 and 30,000 fighters just in Iraq and Syria. And to give you a perspective, the last time that the U.S. declared a victory over this group, which was back in 2010, the group was down to around 700 fighters. So now they have 20,000 to 30,000 fighters just in Iraq and Syria. That's not counting Afghanistan, the Sinai, West Africa, all the other places where they operate. So that gives you a sense of how dramatically larger they are than the last time we thought that they were dead. And that at that point in 2010, they clearly weren't dead. They came straight back.
Right. That's the fear of a repeat. We had this status of forces agreement signed under the Bush administration that, hey, we were going to be out by a date. We didn't get to renegotiate that. U.S. troops left. And then what became ISIS metastasized, if I can use a cancer metaphor here, yeah, and spread, right?
It did indeed. And part of the problem is that our leaders are publicly stating that American troops are leaving. This is what happened in 2010. The predecessor to ISIS knew that all they have to do is hunker down for a bit of time, and soon American forces will be out of their hair. And that's exactly what happened. American forces left by 2011. And by 2014, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi and his army succeeded in taking a territory that was the size of Great Britain between Syria and Iraq.
Now, as you mentioned, the Kurds are the ones doing the frontline work here against ISIS. What have we heard from them, from their leadership, in response to the president's announcement?
I've been speaking to some of their leaders today on message chats, and they're completely baffled. This came out of nowhere. Just a couple of days ago, the State Department and their American counterparts were reassuring them that that American troops are there for the long haul, and they said to me that they really have no will to continue fighting ISIS. It doesn't make sense for them. To them, ISIS was, in a way, not the biggest enemy. They very much fear the clash that we believe is going to happen with Turkey. That's a different front. And that they are in the process of moving their fighters from the ISIS front to the Turkish front.
Right. The Turkish government opposes the existence of a Kurdish army on the other side of the border because of their concerns about their own Kurdish population, right?
Right. Turkey has long viewed the group that is in northern Syria as a direct extension of the PKK, which is a group that has been labeled by them a terrorist organization. They've been leading a low-level insurgency in Turkey for years and years. And so the presence of a group that is allied with the PKK in northern Syria is to Turkey, in a way, an existential threat.
Now, one of the president's arguments here has been, okay, we pull out the U.S. troops, and then ISIS is a problem for Syria, Russia, and Iran. They'll have to take care of ISIS. Is that something, is there any validity to that?
Look, those groups have not been fighting ISIS in the aggressive way that the Kurds have under the support of the American administration. So we can expect that the fight against ISIS is going to lapse, is going to miss a couple of beats, and we know that this group still has thousands, if not tens of thousands, of fighters, lots of money on hand, and so it looks like the landscape is really ripe for this group to rebound.
We're talking about President Trump's declaration that ISIS has been defeated in Syria and that it's time to get U.S. troops out of that country. Rukmini Callimachi is our guest foreign correspondent for the New York Times, who has been covering ISIS.
Join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Should the U.S. pull its troops out of Syria, or is there still work for them to do? How concerned are you about ISIS in the Middle East? What questions do you have about the fight against ISIS? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR.
We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Darrell Connor. We're talking about ISIS. President Trump declared the group defeated in Syria and has ordered the Pentagon to pull U.S. troops out of that country.
Rukmini Callimachi is with us, foreign correspondent for the New York Times. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your reactions to the news, your questions for our guest. Again, 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls. Jeff is with us in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Hey, good afternoon. All things considered, National Public Radio just interviewed the last ambassador we had to Syria before the civil war. And he supports Trump's decision. I do too. But the reason he does is because basically Syria won the civil war about 2 years ago. As brutal as that dictatorship is, they won. So the Kurds refused to negotiate with Syria. So Trump's decision is to pull out in order to force the Kurds to negotiate with the government of Syria, because they live in Syria. So he supports the president's decision because it's the right decision to let people with local influence make their decisions to decide their future.
Jeff, thanks for that call. And we see Robert Ford told the New York Times the U.S. could continue to strike terrorist targets from the air even without those troops in Syria. Rukmini, your thoughts on that?
I mean, I guess the first thought is it's pretty unrealistic to say that the civil war in Syria has been won. People are dying there every day. The country is really a mess. The thing to keep in mind is the Kurds are our allies. They became our allies through a policy decision by the United States. We armed them, we supported them, we gave them logistical backing, we've given them air support. And throughout the Obama administration and in the early part of the Trump administration, the message that they received from the appointed leaders of the American government that were in that region was, we're here for the long haul. They assured them that they are there to support them. So part of what's at risk here is America's word in the world. We're looking like an unreliable partner. Basically, we've used these people to try to remove ISIS's territory from northern Syria, and the second it looks like the territory is gone, we bail.
The president is making the case that ISIS in Syria is a local problem in Syria. It's a regional problem in the Middle East. Is this a problem for the United States? Is ISIS still a threat to American interests, to American people?
Look, I just got back from Tajikistan, a country in Central Asia, where just a couple of months ago, two American cyclists, a young woman and a young man from Washington, D.C., were murdered by an ISIS suspect who had returned from Syria. And he had come back to Tajikistan looking specifically for Americans to kill. So the thought that we are somehow free from the influence of ISIS is naive, to say the least. Let's not forget the Paris attacks that killed 130 people in the streets of Paris in the Bataclan concert hall. They were led by 10 attackers, almost all of whom had come directly from Syria. They had been trained in Syria. They had attended ISIS's formation camps there, and they came back looking to kill Westerners in one of Europe's main capitals. It's unrealistic to think that this threat is done.
Now, this is all coming from the president. We see breaking news that President Trump says Defense Secretary James Mattis will be retiring at the end of February. We've heard talk that a lot of military advisors, other advisors, were surprised by this decision, opposed it. We're hearing, as we heard from Republicans like Lindsey Graham, not happy about this. Do you think that there's enough out there in the military community, the political community, to change this policy now?
Look, we have seen a number of announcements by the White House that have come to nothing. We were promised that there would be a wall that would be built and that would be paid for by Mexico. That so far has not even come close to being true. So there is a line of argument that perhaps this is a distraction mechanism. This has been a month that has been difficult for President Trump and for his family. His charity has just come under scrutiny, etc. And that perhaps with time, this will sort of fall off the bandwagon. But at the same time, other people are taking this dead seriously, and I think the Kurds are the ones who are hearing this loud and clear. And in the story that was reported by my colleagues earlier this morning, one of the things that the Kurds are threatening to do is to release the several thousand very dangerous ISIS members that they currently hold in custody. Those ISIS members are being held in a facility in northern Syria. Their countries, including Britain, including Germany, including the UK, do not want them back because our legal systems are not able to deal with their crimes. If those people are released, you can only imagine what that will do to this conflict.
So what do you watch for? We're still on the first day, basically, after this announcement. What are you watching for as far as reactions from the Kurdish troops there, Turkey across the border, the Syrian government, and other parties?
Right now, the Kurds, in the last couple of days, the town that they were fighting to take back is a town called Hajin in northern Syria. And they had penetrated the town, and they had taken the core of the town, but according to my sources who are there on the ground, they had not declared the town freed because several suburbs on the outskirts were still infiltrated by ISIS. I'm curious to see whether the Kurds really do, you know, pull up the stakes and just leave that area and go to fight something that is more important to them, namely the aggression that they expect from Turkey. And if that's the case, we will have left a safe haven, a territory that ISIS controls, and a place where this group can regroup.
Do you see ISIS being able to take advantage of that, grow in Syria, maybe beyond Syria as well?
They've already grown much beyond Syria, much beyond Syria. This is a group that has recruited from 100 different countries, 100 different countries. Just get your mind around that. 40,000 foreigners flooded into this battle space from 100 different countries. I am following the group in West Africa, in Egypt, in Libya, in Tajikistan, in Russia, in China, in the Philippines, in Bangladesh, and of course in Europe and with followers in North America.
We'll leave it there for now. Rukmini, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Rukmini Callimachi is a foreign correspondent with the New York Times. She covers ISIS. We talked with her about President Trump saying ISIS has been defeated in Syria and saying that he will withdraw U.S. troops from that country.